Dude, he's a toad. Holy smokes, dude.
Welcome back to the Midwest Hinds Hunt Podcast. I am your host, Braden Tolles. Thanks for tuning in. I can't believe I'm living my dream. Early morning flights, the skies are filled up with these whistling wings. Sights that dreams are made of. Look at God's creation. Dust coming in as we struggle to load. Kit number two is a hell of a load. Shots going off as they dropping the hood. It's so cold and my call keeps sticking. I'm being precise with the notes I'm picking. My lead is true, so no duck I'm missing. Full choke, so I'm good at a distance. Welcome back to the Midwest Hinds Hunt Podcast. Back like we never left.
Because we didn't.
New drinks. Same clothes.
Yep.
Pretty cool. They're cool. All right. I'm your host, Braden Tolles. God, I really butchered that a bit. In the studio with me, Drew Berger. November 22nd, once again, hitting the rewind button a little bit, going back. So, came back from elk, whatever day. What day did we end up getting after the second go? So, that was like basically the end of September.
Yeah.
So, we're back in basically October. No, not true. God. Got to be careful here because there's still someone who killed before you. I just haven't recorded that one yet. So some shit went down late September, whatever. We're moving in. So gets into October and now we're full blown whitetails. That's what's on our mind. Basically, I mean, it's, I don't know. I always feel like we need to talk about it. But the thing is, it's like been this way now for a handful of years since you've moved out there. Mm-hmm. You're back to spot and stalking on the ground.
Yep.
I guess I can ask you this. How did it, did you try anything on private ground or did you pursue that much this year? Or were you still just thinking I'm doing public spot and stalk?
Yeah. I didn't do anything to try and...
Because we talked about it. We did talk about you trying to get a hold of private.
Yeah, been talking about doing it for a couple years now, and I just haven't put the time into it.
Which you do technically have some out there
to hunt. We got one spot.
How big even is that spot? What's huntable?
Not much of it's huntable.
Damn.
But, I mean, enough of it is that, like, last year we had... quite a few decent bucks on camera.
Even this year, too, though.
This year's been a little different.
Split buck.
There just hasn't been as many. And, like, some of the bucks that were on it last year, we have seen, you know, one or two of them, mm-hmm. but not near as consistent as it was last year.
See, doesn't that always make you wonder, like, did they die? Or, you know, did a crop rotation have something to do with it? Did a neighbor do something differently that, you know, influenced the fucking deer movement on that piece specifically? You know what I mean? I think about that a lot because I have the same thing, you know, on a farm and it's been quiet since September. And even then, like the amount of, because, you know, summer velvet photos, you start to figure out your shooters, you know, you start to put together a list, you know, who's back, who's missing, who's MIA. And like on that farm, there was two quote unquote shooters, you know, and nothing that I was super interested in, but Lexi, definitely. And on that farm, there were two big deer and I passed one of those deer last year. I was an idiot for doing that. Shouldn't have, but I did. But neither one of them, not a single photo. Summer up to right now, November 22nd, nothing.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, listening to you say, you know, you're not seeing some of those deer come back. It really makes me wonder what it is. Like The thing is, you can't just straight up say, yeah, I bet they're dead, because honestly, I'm betting on the deer. A lot of the time I'm betting on the deer. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, the rut makes them do crazy things, you know, rifle season, whatever, all that. A lot going against them, but I usually bet on the deer, and it just makes me wonder, where the hell are they? If it is crop, or if they actually are dead, or who knows, if it's something a neighbor's doing, the way they're hunting, that made the way they, you know, get onto your property, they're just doing something different now.
Yeah, because like this, it's not, like we don't have deer living on the property. We are trying to, you know, catch them moving through, basically. So that also makes it tough.
Well, that's an interesting statement, too, because we've talked about that, you know, I think on the phone this week about just deer living on a property. Yeah, I don't think it happens very often, if at all, especially to the average guy.
Yeah, I mean, well, and the average guy doesn't have enough ground.
No.
They don't have, you know, couple hundred acre farms that they're hunting, that you might have a deer live on your property and never leave. Or, you know, sometimes he'll go to the neighbors and bounce between your two, and that's it. But
well, even then, like I've said before, that first buck I killed, one of the landowner's friends had that deer on camera who lived like 8 or 9 miles away.
Yeah.
So even then, they, during the rut, they can do crazy things. But back to the whole living on like a specific piece, man, the average guy's lucky to be able to hunt a 40 or an 80.
Yeah.
And honestly, a fucking 5. Anything private at all, because they could be on public. You know what I mean? Like, anyone with private ground is very lucky, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like someone could listen to that and be like, well, boo fucking who, I'm over here on public, you know, busting my ass for who knows how long and not panning out. But now, just an interesting thing that you brought up about, you know, not seeing the same deer return or whatever. So there is that private out there, but, and you're running cameras on that.
Yeah.
And
we're running cameras, but we aren't, that's all we're doing. Like, we're not running feeders or.
I'm going to ask why.
Basically because I've been lazy to
just do it. Just yeah.
Not really, just not doing it. I mean,
I'd find a grain elevator out there and I would load the back of the truck up and just go fucking dump it.
Like, we could, why we not? Very easily could, like
everybody else's. Why not
access into it's
on the private, on the private.
Yeah.
Let me fucking on the private.
Yeah. Like we could, we very easily could. I just haven't.
Yeah.
Because the first year I started running cameras on it, like we had, you know, quite a few bucks on it, quite a few good bucks on it.
Yeah, it's like, don't, why? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. And then this year, it was just kind of a weird year. We just didn't have the same deer or as many showing up.
So did you have those cameras out in the summer soaking? Like, I'm just wondering, like, you know, because it's, like we were talking about earlier, it's so much different being on public spot and stock versus being in a tree, running cameras, running feeder sites, all that shit. It's too total. Like, yes, you're hunting the same whitetail, but two totally different styles of hunting.
Yeah.
Did you ever, like, were you paying attention to these cameras? Like, okay, maybe I'd shoot this deer, or just nothing ever big enough get you going. And you just went, I'm going public spot and stock. Or, like, how'd that go?
So, mostly, I've been wanting Marissa to shoot a deer before I did any hunting there. We're hunting her parents' ground.
Yep.
And my focus has mostly just been on getting her a deer.
Okay.
So, I haven't really even thought about wanting to shoot a deer on it.
And just the fact, too, that we have been talking about, you know, how close you've gotten in the past years to punching that tag on the public, doing the spot and stalk. Like, not a lot of guys are doing that.
Yeah, and that,
that's, for mule deer, that's different. That's different. But for whitetails, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
That's another big reason, like, that's something I've wanted to do since I moved out there, was since I started trying to do this, that's been my goal, is to shoot a buck on public spot and stock. So that's kind of what I've been focused on.
Well, and even too, you know, you hear about guys hunting from the ground, you know, still different. You're not hunting, you are on the ground, but you're not like in one spot. You spotter on the back of the truck, picking up deer, trying to make a play on them.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically taking that Western hunting style and bringing it here.
Yeah.
Which is fucking cool, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of just, like, you know, all our buddies, and I don't know if anyone could fucking get it done. You know, it's taken you how long? How many years have you been at that?
4 years. This was
fucking tough.
This is the fourth season.
And not saying you've been dry for 4 years. You've come back here and hunted. But,
yeah.
But getting it done that way, it's fucking cool that it finally came together.
Yeah.
Okay. So break it down from, I guess, basically when you just started hunting or whatever you want to do, your story to tell.
So basically, I don't like to hunt out there until the mosquitoes are not as horrible as they are out there.
And I remember you saying how freaking bad they were this year.
Yeah, they're bad out there. And so in October was pretty warm.
Mm-hmm.
But
a few cold fronts towards the latter half.
It started cooling off a little bit, so I started hunting more. Like, when we got back from elk hunting, you know, I took a couple week break and I didn't do any hunting. But, you know, towards about the third week of October is when I started, yep, started hunting, doing some scouting.
And that's really, because my numbers, dates might be off a little bit, but I want to say some kind of cold front hit like middle of October, like 16th-ish, 17th-ish, something around there. And then also that weekend, that third weekend, caught good cold fronts. Like, pretty decent.
Yeah, like, so, and I had only, I only hunted a couple times.
Not a lot.
Before I was finally able to get it done. Well, so I hunted the week prior. I want to say it'd be the third week in October. I hunted maybe one day and didn't quite know how this spot would work out. Just from that one evening, it didn't seem as promising as it has been in the past.
So that was the week before you killed?
Yes.
Is this the same spot where you killed?
Yes.
What's the landscape like? Like, try to paint a picture for the guys listening.
It's flat, not many trees, but there's, you know, tall grass and vegetation.
Mm-hmm. How high, how tall?
You know, it ranges from ankle high to over your head.
No shit.
So there is, you know, there's plenty of cover for them. There's a shit ton of cover for them. There's enough cover for you to, you know, put stocks on them.
So what are you doing when you pull up to X spot?
So I pull up and I hop up on the back of my truck. I've got a topper on it. You know, that's the same height as my cab.
You get on top of that?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I almost thought you would take that thing off and just be standing in the... I didn't know you were on top of that. Yeah. How the fuck do you get up there?
Just put the tailgate down and jump up there.
Okay.
Get up on the tailgate.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And then you got to kind of do a... You just pull yourself up there. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. For some reason, I was not picturing you on top of the camper shell.
Yeah.
I was picturing you, like, in the bed.
See, and like, I've done it where when I didn't have the camper shell on there, standing on my toolbox, and it just doesn't quite get you quite high enough.
Being short fucking sucks.
It sucks.
God.
But getting up on the top of my camper shell, you know, so I'm the same height as my cab,
which is actually a pretty decent vantage hunting a lot of flat ground, not a lot of trees. Like, yeah, granted, like you said, you know, grass can range from head high down to your ankle. You can't see into some of that shit probably, but that's a pretty good vantage.
But if they're in the open or somewhat open,
you're picking them up.
You can pick them up. And so I hop up there and I just start glassing.
And how far out can we glass you? Like, ish, like just try to ballpark it. Like, what does it just keep freaking going? Or do you got like trees ever in the back? Like,
there's different spots to where, like, some of it you can see a half mile maybe.
Okay.
And some of it you can only see a couple hundred yards into.
Okay.
It just kind of varies. But it's a good size area that you can hunt.
Okay. So where the week before
I went out
third week, whatever,
and did more, it was more of a, just a kind of a scouting deal. Cause I hadn't been out there since last year. So I went out there and picked up a couple does and that was it. Wasn't quite sure how it would be this season, and hunted that one day or scouted that one day. Came back the week after. This would be the last week in October.
Mm-hmm.
Went out on a Wednesday, which would have been, it would have been the 29th of October.
Wednesday, 29th. Thursday 30th.
Halloween was on a Friday.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
I think.
Yeah, that's right. Cause I, yeah.
Yeah. So hunted Wednesday, the 29th. Went out there after work. You know, this is still before the time change and everything. So I got a little bit of time after work to get out there.
Isn't that crazy too? Like, I feel like when you still have a tag after the time change, you're almost like, it's not like that big of a deal, but it feels like you just lose so much fucking time.
Yeah. Well, and like for me, before the time change, I can go out there, like I can go home if I have to, grab my shit, go out and still have a decent amount of time to hunt.
Right.
After the time change,
it just seems like those days get so much shorter. Yeah. It just, and they still are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And you know, it'll be, I mean, I'm not no fucking, I don't pay attention to it that much, but like, you know, come this time a month from now, your days are just super short.
Yeah.
And especially for a guy who still has a tag late season, getting off of work, having time to get out and hunt wherever it is, like, not the easiest freaking thing to do.
Yeah. So after the time change, if I go out straight after work,
bow and truck, camo and truck.
Yeah. I've got, by the time I get changed and ready to go, I've got maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And so it makes it a lot tougher because then basically you just got the weekends.
Right. Which also, you know, 45 minutes sounds crazy to a guy around here who's tree stand hunting. They're like, that ain't fucking time for nothing. But it's a little different with the style of hunting you're doing.
Yeah. Like you can get it done in 45 minutes. You can get it done 100%.
You can pick up a buck the second you get out there and you go make a fucking play.
Yeah.
So
this was, you know, before the time change, hunted Wednesday. I found a buck, pretty good deer, decided to go after him. And he was, I don't know how far he was. He was a decent, pretty far for that area. And he's, I'd say, 300 or 400 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
He's a decent ways away. And I end up working too far past him. You know, it can be hard when it's so flat like that. It can be hard to find, you know, use kind of landmarks where the deer is at.
Especially when it's super fucking flat like that. Like you can't be like, okay, I'm going to pick out this grass that's 4 foot tall. You know, in between this 2 foot tall and this 8 foot tall grass. Like it's.
And then you get out there and everything looks the same.
Yep.
And you don't know where he's at.
Yep.
So I end up working too far past him. And I had to fucking cross a channel of water that was shin deep or knee deep wearing my hiking boots.
Could you have not just leaped over? Was it too wide?
No, it was too wide. It was like 15 yards wide, probably. Fuck. But before that, I had walked through some like ankle deep water.
Why didn't you take your boots off?
What do you mean?
Why not? Remember when we were fucking turkey hunting out there and we spent, like, we were just being bitches and we're like, how do we get across here? And I'm like, why the fuck aren't we just taking our boots off and going for it?
Yeah. Well, I was kind of running short on time.
Fair.
Like, trying to get out there. I don't remember how much time I had.
And you're not, like, super far from the truck, right?
No.
So, like, you can deal with the wet feet.
Yeah. Like, okay. it was somewhat chilly out that evening. It wasn't freezing or anything. The water was fucking cold. When your
feet were fucking wet, you're probably pretty cold.
Yeah. But, like, I knew I could... It wouldn't be a problem. Like, I'm going to walk back to the truck in, like,
an hour
at the most. Like, I'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
My feet were
survived Colorado. I'll be fine.
My feet were already wet from walking through some other water. I had shitty boots on at the time because I know there's some water out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't always wear my good hiking boots because I know I might be walking through water that my feet are going to get wet in regardless.
I get it.
So my feet are already wet. I'm like, fuck it. Go through it. Shin deep or knee deep water. End up working too far past him. Can't find him.
And is it pretty dark at this point?
Or it's getting to be about
some time.
About 15 or 20 minutes before shooting light.
So still closing in, but you got a little bit.
But I can't find him. So I'm like, well, fuck. Fuck. I'll loop back around kind of where I thought he might be since I worked too far past him. I loop back around. And end up picking him up out in front of me, 120 yards.
Is he unaware of you? You know what I mean? Because, you know, you go to a spot where you think he is, he's not, do a loop, and then you finally pick him up. But is he, like, what's the wind? Is the wind in your favor? Is the wind not in your favor?
At that point, the wind was still good for where he was at, but he had seen movement. So he was kind of on, he was on alert. He knew I was there.
Yeah.
He knew something was up. And so he works away from me. And by that time it's too dark. Like it's getting, you know, right to be shooting light. So yeah. Couldn't do anything about it that evening. So I keep working my way out of there and find him again. And at this point it's after shooting light. He didn't ever really spook.
Just so kind of on a like high alert.
Kind of on alert. Yeah. He knew something was over there, but didn't know what. So I knew I didn't blow him out of there. Knew he'd probably still be in there the next day.
So how did you get out of there then? So is he between you and the truck now?
He was, and then he kind of worked
off?
Off to the side of me, and I was able to loop around and get out of there without bumping him too bad.
I didn't know if you had to take like some giant loop to get back to the truck or if he worked off or not to, you know, let you slip out of there.
Yeah. So Thursday, get off work, go back out there. And, you know, I'm seeing some deer. The 30th.
Yep.
I'm seeing some deer. Not seeing any good bucks yet. A couple small bucks and some does. Finally, I pick up a good buck. And he ends up working away from me, goes on to some private, and just keeps going. So about 45 minutes-ish before shooting light, I find another buck. I'm pretty sure it's the same buck from the previous day.
From Wednesday.
Not totally sure, but...
Makes sense if it looked to be.
I'm pretty sure it's the same deer. And I find him, and he's closer than he was Wednesday. He's in a pretty good spot for me to make a stalk on him.
So Wednesday he was like 300-400 yards. What do you think Thursday? Half that?
Probably between 200 and 300 yards.
Okay.
He was more than 200 yards.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, yeah.
A little bit closer. And I've only got, I'd say 30, I think it was 30 minutes before shooting light is whenever I, you know, got down, grabbed my bow and was ready to go after him.
So basically right at sunset, you know, you got the 30 minutes after. That's basically when you're like, all right, we're doing this.
Yeah, like we got to go now. And so I hustle out there, and I can get pretty far out there towards him without him seeing me, like, at all. Knew there was no chance of him seeing me, so I'm kind of...
You're humping it out
humping there. Humping it at a half-ass jog, getting out there. And then...
This is so fucking cool. This is fucking cool. So are you, like... I get it, but, like, in your head, you're like, fuck, I only have 30 minutes. I gotta go. But also, then the whole spot and stock part comes into your head, and you're like, God, I can't rush this.
Yeah.
I can't fuck it up and bump him. So, like, kudos to you. Like, you know, that's a fine line you kind of got to juggle. Yeah. And that's fucking awesome. I wish I was there.
And it's happened in, you know, last year and previous years where I find a buck and I've only got 30 minutes or 45 minutes before shooting light. And it's just super tough because it might take you 15 minutes to get close to him or within 100 yards of him.
Right.
And then
you still got to basically cut that distance in half or, you know, get within 60 for bow range.
Yeah. In a short amount of time. And it can be easy to get within, I'd say, 100 to 120 yards from him. Mm-hmm. You can get there pretty easy. But closing that distance from 120 to 50 or less,
yeah,
is where it gets tough, where you need more time. And when you find a buck with 30 minutes before shooting light, it just makes it tough getting in close.
Not ideal by fucking any means. But also, like you said, over the years, like, you're no stranger to picking up a buck with half an hour to go.
Yeah.
So you're not a stranger to it, but not ideal.
It's not ideal. And the way I've been kind of looking at it is if I put myself in as many good opportunities as I can, one of these days, you know, I might have some luck on my side, or, you know, just putting myself in as many chances as I can is gonna help. Eventually, right. It's gonna pay off. Like,
the more times you get into the chips, the more times you put yourself in that scenario, it is gonna happen.
Yeah,
one of these fucking times it is gonna happen. Go back to the elk thing, same fucking thing. One of these times it is gonna happen.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. Was I get out there and I go across a little. There's a ditch that's, you know, 4 or 5 feet deep.
No water?
No water. But there's a ditch that's got grass and some trees and shrubs running through it, and it runs straight north and south. I go down in that, and on the other side, it opens up. And it's, you know, kind of like a meadow where it's short grass. There's zero cover going across there, and it's probably 100-ish yards wide. And on the other side, there's thicker, taller cover. And I knew he was on the other side.
So at this point, you know, standing there, how far have you closed it?
That's what I didn't know. I knew he was on the other side, and there was a few trees that I could kind of use as points where I knew he was close.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a couple of them, and I didn't know exactly which tree I picked him up by. And so I couldn't for sure know how far into that thicker cover he was at. And at that point, I'm, you know, running out of daylight. So I say, fuck it. I've got to get across here. I know he's on the other side somewhere. I'll get across, pick him up when I get over there. Well, I start going across, and I make it probably 40 or 50 yards, and I see antlers right on the edge.
How close basically. Are we talking?
He's still over 100 yards away, probably 150 yards away.
But you're picking up his rack.
But I
sub 30 minutes of fucking time left.
Yeah.
At 100 yards. So, you know, that's a pretty good buck.
So, I pick him up, and I immediately just drop down to my knees. And he never saw me, didn't know I was there. He was with two other bucks that I didn't know were there. And so I dropped down, and I'm watching him through the binos. One of those bucks was raking a tree pretty good. I could see the tree moving and shit. Couldn't see the deer, but I could see the tree moving. And then I could see him and another smaller buck.
How bigger buck are we talking about raking the tree? Doesn't matter.
Well, I don't know. I never saw him.
Never saw him.
Because those two bucks I could see, they start moving, you know, across from me. They start moving to the east.
Mm-hmm.
Working straight in front of me to the east. I'm facing south. They start working across the very kind of end of this open area. And then that other buck, don't know where he went. Never saw him. And so they start working across that, the end of that open area. And they get over towards the edge of that ditch that I had crossed.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, just, they're out there feeding and kind of just fucking around. And that bigger buck starts working his way straight down the edge of that ditch, working right towards me.
Yeah.
And then he stops. That other buck stayed back where they came across at. He stops, turns around, starts working back to where he came from.
Away from you now.
Away from me.
Okay.
Gets back by that other buck, mills around a little bit.
And are you still planted on your knees?
Yeah. Like I haven't moved from where I stopped when I saw him.
How tall is this grass in front of you? So you're on your, and you can see him though?
Yeah.
Okay. So this, not very tall of grass then between you guys.
Who knows? It's knee high.
Okay.
And there's a few little like shrub brushes kind of scattered throughout, but there's not enough cover for me to move.
Yeah.
To get any closer. Okay. So I was caught with my pants down going across there.
Right. You're as close as you can be at the moment.
Couldn't move from where I was at without them seeing me. And so he works his way back towards that other buck just for like less than a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He's milling around, turns around again, and just starts walking right towards me.
Huh. Came towards you, turned away, comes back.
Yep. Came back, and he starts walking directly at me.
Damn.
And at this point, I had knocked an arrow, took my quiver off, had my rangefinder out, like I was ready.
Quiver on spot and stock, just saying. Whatever.
And so I was ready, but he starts walking directly at me, and so I can't move at all, like without him seeing me. And so he walks straight at me and kind of peels off to the left of me. And he's kind of over my left shoulder.
So knowing a little bit more than the listeners do, he probably cut that distance in half-ish from where he started to veer off and go left.
Yeah. Well, he got close.
Okay.
Because I ranged him.
I'm fucking everything up here. God.
He walked straight at me, and when he was probably 40 or 50 yards away,
mm-hmm.
he kind of peels off. It'd be to his right and just keeps walking kind of back towards that ditch. And so I range him. I'm able to range him kind of over my left shoulder at 33 yards. But I
33?
Can't. 33 yards.
Damn, I didn't know he was this close.
Yeah. Ranged him at 33 yards over my left shoulder, but I'm facing the wrong way. On my knees. Can't move.
Facing this way, you're doing this number.
Yeah.
Can't move.
Because he walked directly to my left.
Yeah.
And was slightly behind me. So I can't move. Like, I've got my bow up, ready to go, yeah. but I can't move. And it's... like, it's down to crunch time. We've got, you know, 5 minutes before shooting light. And so I range him at 33 yards. When he got that close, he could see something. He knew something wasn't right.
Yeah.
He didn't know what. So he's looking at me, kind of wondering what the fuck's going on.
Looking at you or just in your direction? Or was
looking at me.
Yeah, he was looking right
at me. He could see me. Damn. He could see something he didn't like, but didn't really know.
Yeah. Couldn't figure you out.
Couldn't figure it out. And this is all kind of happening just in a matter of seconds. Like, he stops and is looking at me, and I decide, fuck it, I've got to do something, because if I stay here, I'm not going to get a shot.
Right. You are fucking running out of time, and you're not just going to let him go. So you got to make a move.
Yeah. So I just kind of turn to my left.
Still on your knees.
Still on my knees. Turn to my left, get my bow in front of me, so I'm facing him. And as I do that, he spooks.
Yeah.
But he only runs 20 yards, stops, and turns and is staring right at me, facing me. So I'm able to range him again at, I want to say 51 yards is what I ranged him at. He turns broadside.
Broadside.
And so, you know, as he turns broadside, you know, I draw back.
What are you set on? I guess this is an important detail. What's your sight set on?
So when he started walking towards me, I dialed my sight to, I want to say 25 yards.
Okay. Because, you know, I'm curious because, you know, same thing out west, you know, I'm usually just set at 40 all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were going, what was it going into it?
Typically, I want to say I just keep it at 25 yards.
Okay.
20 or 25 is usually what I just start at.
Mm-hmm. And we're shooting a single pin.
Shooting a single pin.
On a dial, on a wheel, yep. Whatever.
And so when he started walking at me, I want to say I set it at 25 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he spooks a little bit, runs out to 51 yards. I'm able to range him, dial my sight to 50. And after I dial my sight is when he kind of starts to turn.
And the grass he's in, like, can you see full body deer?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
Grass wasn't in the way. It wasn't a problem.
Which really fucking lucky by the sounds of it. Just, you know, just how different it can be.
And kind of this sporadic taller shit.
Mm-hmm.
None of that was in the way. He was in, you know, a pretty open area. And so the grass, you know, went up, I don't know, to mid leg or something. So it wasn't a problem. And so I was able to range him, dial my sight, draw back. And at that point, he's standing pretty, now I know he was slightly quartered to me, just a little bit at the time, you know, looked perfectly broadside.
Hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah. So get drawn back on him and able to get a arrow off.
Okay. Well, you went too fast, way too fast. So when he's at you at 33 yards, are you still cool, calm, collected about the whole thing? Are you keeping your shit together?
For the most part, when he starts walking directly at me
mm-hmm.
is when I start to get nervous.
Right.
Like, typically, and it's...
I cannot believe you just went, I went to full draw and the shot. Come the fuck on. We got to talk about it.
It's different in a tree stand. Sometimes they come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you just don't have time to think about anything.
Yeah, sometimes it's all action.
Yeah. But like, I wasn't nervous until he started walking directly at me. I'm like, oh shit, like I might have a chance at this deer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I start getting nervous. And usually I'm not that nervous. Like my, you know, my heart's pounding, but I'm not shaking usually now.
Yeah.
Well,
probably because you've been on your freaking knees for who knows how long. You probably lost feeling in the lower half.
Yeah. But I did get a little bit shaky more than usual.
Sure.
So when he starts walking directly at me.
Yeah. And then when he starts kind of going away and you make that turn, obviously, you know, you're not even thinking at this point, you're just doing. But when you come back to full draw, what's going through your head right now? Because this is, you know, you were telling me you can notice your sights moving a little bit more. Like, was it still, you know, clean break? Because, you know, you're shooting the true back tension release.
Yeah.
You know, did everything feel good from the shot breaking to where you put it? And this is before we know he's slightly quartering too. Did everything feel good when that shot broke?
So one thing, the past couple years, I've been really, adamant about whenever I've got a deer in front of me and I am drawing back on a deer, going through a checklist in my head of grip, anchor point, making sure everything, like grip and anchor point, is the two things that I, you know, mentally check when I'm drawn back now. And so like those two things went through my head and, you know, centering my sight and my bubble.
Yeah.
I guess those four things are the things that I go through in my head when I'm drawn back. And even on a, like shooting at a target. Yeah. Those are always things you're thinking about.
Yeah. But totally different.
The past couple years, just between other people I know and hearing stories and all this, some people, when they get a deer in front of them and they almost like black out. Like,
yes,
they
happens
almost
a lot.
Don't know what happened.
And not like, we're not meaning that in a bad thing. Like, that happens to a lot of freaking people.
Yeah. Like, the nerves take over. There's so much, you know, emotion going on that you just can't think.
The episode I did with your dad and James, like you, I said, you can shoot in the yard as much as you want. Go through that shot cycle, whatever you want to do. But it's totally different, you know, standing in the yard, flat footed, shooting at foam.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, it was interesting. You went through your checklist. Mine is grip, anchor, and then execute is what I say. And like, that's just so I don't, you know, punch the trigger. You know, it's, even though I'm shooting a button and you're shooting a true back tension release, it's still the same thing. It doesn't matter if it's a trigger, a back tension, or a button. You're supposed to shoot them all the same.
Yeah.
And for me, that execute is, you know, pull through it. Don't punch it. And kudos to you, dude, because I have tried that release that you run and for the fucking life of me, I couldn't get it to go off when I wanted it to. And I've heard other guys on other podcasts talk about the release and they do the same thing. And you shoot that thing exceptionally well.
Well, and that's the thing is like, I don't
exceptionally well. You can make that thing go off when you need it to.
I can, but like for the most part, you're not trying to make it go off.
No, you're not. You're not.
At a specific time.
But I'm just saying you're so familiar with it, and I've shot it for so long, you know how to manipulate that release to, if you need to get a shot to go off, you can make that thing go off.
Yeah, I can definitely make it go off quicker.
Because a lot of guys who, and a lot of people might not know that because some people don't even know what a back tension release is. There's no trigger. If you do anything wrong with your form, that thing will not go off.
Or it'll go off when you don't want it to.
When you don't want it to.
Yeah, like if you slightly let some pressure up and that string wants to jump on you.
Yeah.
And so then you try and catch it, boom, it goes off.
Yeah. That's what I'm
because your arrow you try to catch it from where you want it.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm shaking the table trying to demonstrate. But kudos to you because you shoot that thing extremely well. So it all felt good.
Yeah.
When it broke.
And so, and kind of back to what I was talking about, people not like really thinking through what's actually going on and, you know, having an actual shot routine and kind of a checklist that they go through not everyone and a lot of people, I'd say, don't do that when they're drawn down on a deer. They're not really thinking about everything they should be.
Right.
And so the past couple of years, I've been really focusing on that. So, you know, check my grip, anchor point, center my sight housing, and my level. All that felt good. I will say my pin movement, you know, there's always, and especially with a back tension.
Pin float.
Yeah, your pin float, you know, as Dudley says, you've got to trust the float. You know, your subconscious is always going to bring that pin back to where you're trying to hit. So you know, you're letting that pin float and do what it wants to do naturally. And I will say my pin float was more than normal.
I think everyone listening, including me, understands why. Like,
yeah, I mean, nerves.
It's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah, so it's floating a little bit more than normal, a little more than I would have liked. And I remember thinking, like, oh, fuck, my pin's floating a little farther away than what I would like. And so I, you know, try and...
Yeah, you manage
in a matter of seconds, you know, I'm trying to manage it the best I can. But the shot break felt good.
Good.
Everything felt solid. Heard the arrow hit him.
Really good.
Sounded good. I knew I hit him, and I knew it hit him hard. It thumped him pretty good.
What was on the end of that arrow?
A iron will.
Okay. You were going to run him. I just wasn't for sure if you were going
to switch to the
Schwacker.
Tried the iron wheels out for elk hunting. Decided not to mess with anything and was just going to run the same thing for deer this year.
They deserved a chance to tear something up.
So, shot felt good. Knew I hit him. After I shot, you know, he runs off probably 50 or 60 yards and stops and stands there. And so I'm pull up my binos and I'm watching him. Don't see my arrow in him.
Lighted knock or no?
No lighted knock.
Okay.
Never saw where my arrow hit. Cause you know, and after I shot him, well, this was after I'd pulled up my binos, looked at him, was watching him. And I looked at my watch, and it was 4 minutes before legal shooting light ended.
Mm-hmm.
So I shot him with maybe 5 or 6 minutes before shooting light. And so it was, you know, fairly dark out.
It's dark.
So finding, you know, that specific spot on him you want to hit and are aiming for, you know, was tough. Like, I couldn't do that.
Easier said than done.
Yeah.
Okay. So this buck is hit. You heard the pop. He runs off 56 yards. Pull him up in the binos. Does he work off at this point? Because he takes off after the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Runs that distance. Then what happens?
He stops and he's standing there and he kind of takes a step and kind of stumbles a little bit. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, he's going to fall over right there.
Yeah.
Well, he kind of stands back up, and he takes a few steps, and he does it again.
He's fighting.
Fighting it. And then it's like he stood up and just shook it off. And then he just stands there for a couple minutes and eventually starts slowly walking off to the east. When there's that ditch running north and south, he goes down in that, goes over to the other side. So when he does that, I get up, I go to the other side, pick him up in the binos again, and he's just slowly walking off, and he'll stand there for a little bit, you know. And I couldn't really tell for sure because he's, you know, and a little bit taller shit at this point, and I couldn't tell how far he had gone.
Right.
But he, you know, he was standing there for a couple minutes at a time, and then he walked a little ways and then stood there kind of on some edges, some taller shit, and then it got too dark, and that was the last I could see.
Okay, so what's going through your head? What happens next?
At that point, because it hadn't been very much time, but you know.
Because you know that feeling where you're like, he's about to go down, you know, when he's fighting it, and then he doesn't, and then he disappears. Like, you're almost thinking, fuck, he's going down. He's going down right here. And then they don't, and you're like, fuck.
And so it'd been less than 10 minutes from when I shot him to when I couldn't see anymore, or maybe about 10 minutes or so. And the last I saw him, you know, he was on his feet. Never saw him go down, so I'm thinking, oh, fuck. Where did I hit him? Because I obviously didn't double lung him, because if I did, he'd be dead by now.
Right. Well, and also thinking, too, you know, takes off, runs off hard, stops, fights it, and then, you know, crosses the ditch. So do you. You pick him back up, and he's just slowly working off. Like, from me hearing that, I'm like, well, he's fucking hurting.
Yeah.
Wherever the shot ends up hitting, you're like, you know, he ain't feeling good.
I knew I didn't hit him in the shoulder. I knew it had to have been a pass through because I never saw my arrow in him.
Yeah.
And I knew I hit him. The only thing I at the time, the only thing I was thinking was I might have hit him a little low. But I didn't know for sure.
Right.
And so, you know, it gets dark enough where I can't see him anymore. So I hike out of there at that point and I give him some time.
Go home, call the wife.
I call my dad first, tell him what happened.
Okay. Not first.
Nope.
Keep going.
Call him, tell him. And then I think I call you.
Hey, I'll take second. That's
sweet. I think I call you next. And then I think as we're getting off the phone, Marissa texts me or something. And so I call her.
Well, and it was funny. I was literally in bed. We got to bed pretty early that night. And I'm just laying in bed and we're just sitting there on our phones. And you called me and you told me you shot one. And I'm like, no fucking way. And I like yell it kind of. And Lexi's like, what the fuck? She's like, what happened? I'm like, Drew shot a buck.
Yeah.
So, okay, get a hold of Marissa, go home. This is the part I don't remember. Did you go back out there that night? Because I don't want to say, I don't want to spoil anything. So what happened? Just, you got to take me through it.
Yeah. Went home, ate some dinner, gave him about 2 hours.
Okay.
And then call another buddy, me, Marissa, and Jeremy, go back out there. I think it's about 9 o'clock at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of where I'd say I fucked up. Since he went across that ditch and I got to the other side because I wanted to keep an eye on him, I didn't mark, you know, where I was when I shot him, where he was. And so we go back out there.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say, not marking him, like, yeah, you kind of fucked up, but dude, the excitement, the adrenaline between all of it, like, you're not out west. It's not something you typically have to do while hunting around here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The only thing that I'd say it really fucked up was finding my arrow.
But which can be crucial because, you know, that arrow can tell a lot.
Yeah.
It really can. And not to mention there's like a fucking $60 broadhead on the end of it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But I wasn't like very worried about it because I knew where he was. Like,
yeah.
Last time I saw him, I knew exactly where that spot was.
You can kind of cut out from where he was shot here. You know, if he ends up over here and you see him working this way, yeah, you want to see that arrow, and, you know, we'll get into it, but you know for sure you have a, he's here, he went this way.
Yeah.
None of this, like, is super important besides that arrow.
Yeah, that's really the only reason I wish I would have marked where I was, where he was. And even if I did, who knows if we would have been able to find my arrow. It could have been buried in the grass and never found it anyways.
Want to make a bet?
Sure.
Next time I'm out in with you out there, I said we go find it.
You want to go out there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to just see it all in person too. You know what I mean? Like, listen to it. I'm trying to paint it the best I can in my head. But, like, I really want to see, like, where it all fucking went down.
It's hard to, and it can be hard to describe without giving.
Right. But here's my thing. On the ground, and, like, I just shot a doe a week ago or so. And it's in a ground blind, you know. And I killed my buck out of a ground blind. That arrow's not buried in the ground. It's sitting fucking somewhere on top of that fucking grass. It's just going to be a matter of finding exactly where he was, where you were, all that.
Yeah.
And but I still think this
area it's a big,
it's huge.
The open area is big, and not knowing exactly where I was and where he was, you're kind of just walking around in the dark.
Well, I'm just saying, I say we go out there sometime.
Yeah.
We find it, because we got plans for me to be out there anyway.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. Just, I had to bring that up.
Yeah, so I knew exactly where the last spot I saw him. I knew exactly where that was. So, I wasn't super worried about it. But we go back out there, you know, 2 hours later, try and find some blood or my arrow. Can't find anything. So, we decide to back out, come back the next morning.
So, you did look for the arrow that night. Couldn't find it. You were like, hey, let's, you know, it's already dark. You know, if he's dead, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cold that night, so wasn't worried about that.
Right. You know, might as well just wait with daylight.
Yeah.
And work it then.
And if I shot him in the liver or in the guts, you know, we wanted to give him more time than just those 2 hours. And so we didn't even go down to where I last saw him.
Smart. Because honestly, even if you would have found the arrow, I honestly still would have pushed to not go in there.
Yeah.
Like, if he's dead, he's going to be in the same fucking spot 12 hours from now or whatever. You know what I mean? The next day, he'll be there.
Yeah.
Okay. So back out. How's that night go?
Better than it has in the past.
Really?
Yeah. I must have been tired or something because I slept like a baby.
Really?
Usually, like, freaking worried sick about it.
I am up.
Can't sleep, but
I'm trying to think. Haven't had to deal with that yet.
Really? It's been a while for me, but like when I was younger, dealt with it a couple times and it was like I'm fucking sick to my stomach.
Gut wrenching feeling.
Yeah. But I was pretty hopeful he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew we probably needed to give him more time.
Yeah.
So I wasn't super, you know, worried about it. So now it's Friday morning, okay. Halloween. Don't go into work that day.
Of course not. It'd be fucking crazy too.
Me, Jeremy, and another buddy. We go out and we sort of look for my arrow and blood where I shot him. Don't spend a whole lot of time over there. Can't pick anything up, so we just go to where I last saw him.
So did you, okay, you know, you guys look, if deer was shot here, you're looking for your arrow in this area. Did you stay on his trail where he went?
We did go back farther to where I thought he stopped and crossed at.
Okay.
Still couldn't pick anything up.
No blood, nothing. Hmm.
And I think even in the daylight, knowing exactly where he was, I think it would have been hard to pick it up.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it would have just been drops.
Yeah. Well, and before, and we left out a detail. I'm on the phone with you, you know, before you even get there, you're like in the truck getting out there. And once again, give me the deed. Like, I need to know everything. Fucking call me, text me. I want to know.
Yeah.
Probably was annoying you a little bit too, because I was just,
well, I had to ignore a few FaceTime calls.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's funny too. We got to talk about this. This is hilarious. So basically, you know, we're talking through it and, you know, you're fucking jacked up. I'm jacked up, both excited, ready to find this deer. And basically we're having a conversation about what, you know, what could have happened, what's going on. And we literally come to the end of the conclusion and we're like, okay, he's either dead or he's alive.
Yeah.
And I'm in the back of the truck. And I'm like, dude, it's fucking Halloween. You know, he's like, he's either dead or alive. I'm like, trick or treat, bitch. And I'm at an account delivering to, and she's like standing outside, and this lady thought I called her a bitch. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. And Drew's like, did she thought you called her a bitch? I'm like, yeah, she did. But my
yeah, that was kind of hard to explain.
Oh, man. Well, I talked to her this past Friday because I delivered it, because this is the first time I've seen her, because I was on vacation, you know, the next week. So this is my first time seeing her. She goes, did your buddy find his deer? I'm like, he did.
Fuck yeah.
I'm ruining the story, but that was just funnier than shit. And she thought I called her a bitch, and I promise I wasn't.
Yeah, that was fucking funny.
Okay, so no luck on the arrow, no blood, no nothing. You go to where you saw him disappear.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I knew, like, he worked to the east to a certain point, stopped, and then I knew he worked south. Like, I knew he took a pretty much a straight line south.
When he he disappeared, is it just because you couldn't see him anymore, or was there timber he started getting into?
He was, like, right on the edge of some tall shit.
Just so, grass, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Getting hard to see him, plus it got dark.
Uh-huh.
And so, just couldn't. Like, so when I backed out of there, I could still see, like, his antlers barely. Mm-hmm. I could see him still standing there. I was like, well, I'm gonna get out of here. Like, I know where he's standing.
Yeah.
So, go back to where he, you know, went across at.
The ditch.
Start looking over there, trying to pick up blood. Finally pick up a couple drops of blood. And he took, there was a trail that went straight south that he pretty much walked straight on, and start picking up a little bit of blood, not very much, you know, a couple drops here and there. And we get down to where I last saw him on the edge of that tall shit, and it, you know, it was over the top of your heads.
God, that tall.
And it's thick. Like, there's a couple trails that cut in through there, but, like, it's thick. And it kind of comes to a little half-ass circle, almost, of, like, short grass, and then the tall shit starts. And we don't know which direction he went. We kind of lost the blood, couldn't pick it up.
How far are you from the shot at this point?
Ballpark. Probably 100 yards.
Okay.
And so we're trying to pick blood up. And finally, Jeremy, he goes into the tall shit and is looking in there and finally picks up some blood back in there. And then,
good work, Jeremy.
Yeah. And that, so I go back around to where he's at, and I find, you know, where he went in at. We could finally pick that up. And he hops on a trail, and he follows it. And we start picking up a little bit more blood. We can see he starts bleeding out of both sides.
Okay. Getting better.
Not like, you know, double lung good to where he's, you know, blowing blood out everywhere. But it's getting, and it's still not a great blood trail, but it's getting better.
Yeah. It's improving. From where he was shot, you know, to where he entered nothing, finding some drops, slowly starts picking up.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. And there's that, water that I was talking about,
yeah,
that I had to cross the day before, well, Wednesday, there's a trail that runs directly parallel. That water runs east and west.
Okay.
There's a trail that runs directly parallel to it, you know, 10 yards off of it. And he gets on that trail and he follows it for, I don't know, another 50 to 75 yards. And then he beds down. He follows it, takes a direct left-hand turn, 90-degree turn off of it, goes 15 yards and beds down.
15 yards off the trail.
Off the trail.
Okay.
Which, this trail he's following, you know, we're blood trailing him on it the whole, you know, 50, 75 yards.
Pretty good beat trail.
The trail itself is pretty good, but like on everything, both sides of it, there's, you know, knee-high grass.
Yeah.
And then, you know, shrubs and all sorts of shit.
Not a very wide trail by any means.
No. But he's on that trail, following it, takes a left-hand turn, and beds down. And I got to piss. He bedded down.
15 yards off the trail.
Yep. Followed his blood trail off the trail to a bed, blood in the bed.
How big?
About the size of your fist. Not a lot of blood.
Okay.
But we, you know, knew for sure he bedded down right there and got up, and we didn't know what direction he went.
Couldn't find blood from that bed? Couldn't find
blood from that bed.
Did you guys go like back to the trail, try to walk up a little bit?
Went back to the trail, couldn't find any blood on it. And where he got off that trail, and it kind of opened up a little more.
What opened up a little more?
So he bedded on kind of like the edge of an open area.
Like you're saying there's not, like the trail opened up so that you don't have grass right here and grass right here.
So that trail keeps running along that water.
Mm-hmm.
But then where he got off of it, you know, you go through a little thick, kind of a little thicket that runs alongside it.
Okay.
But on the other side, it's, you know, knee high kind of brush. And it opens up into another kind of bigger meadow.
Gotcha.
And then on the other side of that, it gets real thick.
Hope he's not in there.
Yeah. But also, that kind of open area, the vegetation that's in it, there's a little bit of water in the bottom of it too. And it, just the color of the vegetation and the type that it was, hard to pick blood up in it.
Is it that red stemmy bullshit? Like where there the stalk, you know what that I'm talking about? Where it's like, yeah, Colton actually dealt with the same thing on his buck, but it ended up being blood. But like, it's like red stemmy. It's grass.
I know what you're talking about.
And it looks like it could be blood, but it's not.
There was some of that, not a lot, but, and this was like dark brown, kind of shrubby brush that, you know, didn't have a lot on it, just, you know, mostly branches or whatever.
Yeah.
But dark brown, we knew it'd be hard to find blood in it. Plus with the little bit of water that was in it. We, you know, kind of circled around looking for blood. Couldn't pick any up. At that point, we decided we didn't think we'd be able to get back on the blood trail.
Have we said from where he was shot to this bed, how far are we now?
Probably 175 to 200 yards.
Okay. Okay. Good bit.
So, yeah, pretty good bit. But we didn't think we'd be able to pick any more blood up. So we decided, you know, go back to the truck, and we were going to see if we could get a hold of some guys with some dogs.
So where are you at, you know, mentally at this point where, okay, tracked him this far, got this bed, out of blood. Like, is anything setting in? where you're kind of getting a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, having those thoughts creep in like, fuck, I'm not going to find this deer.
Yeah. Because when we were, you know, blood trailing him through that grass and trail and it was decent, I was like, okay, we're going to, you know, it was good enough to where I thought, okay, we're going to find him dead, you know, up here in another 100 yards or so.
Right.
Figured maybe he'd get up here in bed and we'd find him. And when that wasn't the case and he bedded down and got up again, I'm kind of thinking, oh fuck, like,
well, and I asked,
we might not find him.
Right. And I asked because I mean, I just know how it'd be if I was there. Like, you know, the emotion and how jacked up you are, Jeremy, his buddy, like everyone's probably pretty excited. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to find this fucking deer. Let's do it. You know? And then just at that point where it's like, fuck, you make the decision. Okay, we're getting out of here. We got to get a hold of a dog. Try to find a guy who can blood trail this deer with a dog.
Yeah. And kind of backing up just a little bit. When he was on that trail that runs alongside the water, mm-hmm. at one point we kind of lost the blood. Well, we didn't lose the blood. The blood trail went down to the water, followed it to the edge of the water. So we figured, you know, he crossed the water. Jeremy and her other buddy, Nick, they, you know, no one's wearing muck boots. Even muck boots wouldn't have helped because this stuff was knee deep. They circle back around and find a spot to cross. Cross it, go to the other side, can't pick any blood up over there. So at that point, that's when I started getting a little nervous, like, okay, what the fuck's going on?
Right.
Where'd he go?
Well, thinking about it, you know, hearing it, he probably went there to get a fucking drink.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. Because when they couldn't pick any blood up on the other side, and Jeremy had went down a little bit to where there was kind of another opening, because he had ran into one time tracking a deer that started to cross some water, decided not to, looped back, still in the water, just up a little ways,
And
backed out. And so he went up maybe 10 or 15 yards to the next opening, thinking maybe that's what he did. Couldn't find any blood, so that's when they went around to the other side.
Dude, shout out to these fucking guys for fucking being there.
Yeah.
To help you.
Oh, yeah. They know what they're doing. So I was, at the time, I was pretty confident we were going to find him. But then, you know, they couldn't find any blood on the other side. So I, you know, go further up the trail and eventually pick it back up on that trail. So, yeah, well, we figured he went down to the water, got a drink maybe, got back on the trail and kept going. And then, you know, a little ways after that's when he took a left and bedded down.
Okay. So get out of there, get a hold of a, what do we call these guys?
Some dog tracker?
Dog tracker. That's what a tracker.
Deer trackers.
Yeah. That's, I couldn't think of the word tracker. Get a hold of a tracker. He's busy tracking another deer that morning.
Yes. But yeah, they get a hold of them. They're able to, you know, come back after they finished up on a different track that morning. They show up. At this point, Jeremy and Nick, they had to go to work later that morning. So they, me and then two guys that they each have a dog.
Yeah.
They're brothers. Blood Creek Deer Tracking is who it was. They're able to come out. I take him to the spot where he bedded down. Last blood we found.
What kind of dogs were they?
Bavarian Mountain Hounds, I believe. And I forgot to ask him. I meant to ask him what kind of dogs they were, but based on pictures and stuff.
Because I got a hold of you too, and I'm like, they're running Bavarian Mountain Hounds. Because I was, because, you know, you don't know it, but on my end of things, you know, I finally get a hold of you after a few ignored FaceTime calls, talking to your dad, finally get to talk to you. And I was, I wasn't hesitant, but the thing is, like, it's not hard to find someone with a dog who doesn't know what they're doing. And I'm not, this is from, I've never had to deal with a dog, call it a track or anything, but I can almost guarantee you there's probably some people out there that have a deer tracking dog and charge you X amount of money, and they've probably never recovered deer. If so, it's been very slim. You know what I mean? Like, the guy you found the cream of the crop to come and do this just based off of his knowledge of the area and just their track record with finding deer.
Yeah.
Like, it couldn't have went any freaking better. I was just worried. I'm like, hey, you just kind of got to vet it, you know, make sure it feels right before you do it, because I would not be surprised if, you know, you could call up a, not to sound like a dick, but a shit tracker with a shit dog, pay X amount of money and not find this deer. Yeah. And the thing is, we've never dealt with that. So you're watching this dog work. You don't know what the hell it's doing, what it's supposed to do, whatever. So just being so new to it, I'm just so freaking happy that you found the right guy.
Yeah. And I'd never been around it. Didn't know much about it. I mean, I've heard of guys using them and stuff, but
really, you hear it all the time.
Don't know anything about it.
Like, you don't know, is the dog supposed to do that? Like,
yeah, but you know, I call him up, talk to him on the phone. You know, he's asking me all sorts of questions, and just talk to him on the phone, you know, kind of
good vibes.
Good vibes. Like, these guys, they know what they're doing. So they're able to come out, take him to the bed. And
is that where you start to see? I was wondering that. Did you start him from the shot and let him work from there? Did you let him start from where you last seen him? Did you take him straight to the bed?
So I took him to where I shot, and then, you know,
because I figured
where we blood trailed,
they'd want to see all of it, just get a layout for it, get an idea what's going on.
And they basically told me all they need is last blood, like, get them to last blood and
dogs are going.
The dogs,
they're off.
Will do their job.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I took him because it's on walking out there, you know, it's on the way basically to where the bed is.
Yeah.
Take him by where I shot, follow the blood trail, because it's pretty much the easiest path to get back there.
Yeah.
Is where that deer went.
Path of least resistance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so take him to the bed. Dogs start, you know, working. And one thing I was, I don't know, surprised about maybe is the temperament of the dogs, like, really laid back.
Really?
Like, just walking, not like, you know.
Jerk. Like, are they on a lead? Is that what they have them on?
They had, real long leads.
Yeah.
But the dogs, you know, they're just walking and, you know, doing their job, sniffing and whatnot.
Well, and that's not, like, I understand what you're saying, how you're kind of surprised, but also just kind of depends on the dog.
Yeah.
You know, you can get two labs. One's real mellow, you know, hunts like a son of a bitch. And then you can get a real hyped up lab that also hunts like a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the temperament of the dog almost.
Yeah.
But I'm so jealous of that, dude. I wish I could have seen that.
Yeah. So the dogs were cool, like, real laid back. One starts working back to that trail the deer was on, and it's kind of funny, the dog, you know, gets on something, goes back to that trail the deer was on, works down to the edge of the water, and then kind of, you know, stops because, you know, hit the water,
trying to figure it out,
kind of turns and looks at the guy, and he didn't see anything, you know, right there at the water looking around.
Yeah.
So he pulls the dog back and has him keep working down that trail and works, you know, 75 yards or something down the trail. And at that point, the dog's like, you know, hey, I'm not picking anything up. Yeah. And so he, you know, calls the other guy on the phone.
So where's the other guy with the other dog?
Kind of still around where the bed's at in that
field. One dog's on the bed, what this dog works down to the water, which, I mean, I'm not, I don't know much about this, but they're obviously on that deer's scent, you know, scent trailing it. That dog hits the water is like, what, like you see, you said, looking back, the dog's probably thinking like, where'd he go?
Yeah. Like he's the way I kind of gathered it. That dog followed the scent down to that water, turns to the guy and says, hey, like, this is where the deer went.
Yeah.
Like, but there's water here. So he calls the other guy, says, hey, you know, keep working around there. He's not, he doesn't have anything down here. And so the other guy goes down to that trail where the dog, you know, went down to the water.
So that guy came down from the bed to where this dog is at the water?
Well, at that point, the first dog had, you know, kept going down the trail. And okay. He's still down there.
Yeah.
And they're kind of coming back.
Back now. And letting this dog work the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the guy, you know, he starts looking around more, looks across the water, and I kind of picked this up on their Facebook page. When they find a deer, they yell bingo.
Really?
Yeah. And so I'm kind of standing by the bed, and he's over there by the water, and I see him pull his binos up. He's looking on the other side, and then he just yells bingo.
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 That's awesome. So that first dog was like,
he knew right where that deer went.
Yeah. He's like, dude, it's over there.
Yeah. But he didn't see anything, and so he had to keep working. But then that second guy was able to see the deer on the other side, which he was, his ass end was really all you could see. Yeah. The rest of it was in
tall grass,
tall shit. So you couldn't really see much
tough,
of him.
Tough to pick him up.
Yeah. So, and what's funny is I walked past him that morning when we found that bed. I worked down that trail.
To the water?
Not to the water, but, you know, I went back to that trail and just followed that trail farther down.
Yeah.
Hoping to pick blood up again, but I never did. And so I walked right past where that deer went across the water.
And then you guys did, but you were at the bed. And then where was the bed to the water? The bed was 15 yards off the trail. How far there is the water from the bed, I guess?
15. Another, he's probably 30 yards from the water total.
Okay.
He was probably 70 yards from where he bedded to where he died.
Yeah.
Because he got up.
So you guys
worked down that trail just a little ways and then crossed.
You had him all the way up to that last 60 yards, and you just need a little help from the dogs, the guys who understand the dogs. Bingo.
Yep.
So when those dogs, like, were, because I can only imagine, you know, your two buddies leave, you go home, you got to wait a handful of hours for these guys. You know, you're probably not feeling the greatest about it, but like when you get out there with them, are you more, okay, here we go. Game time. Go time. Oh, yeah,
for sure. I was pumped up. It was because it was cool that the dogs were there. Like I'd never seen it before.
You get to experience that.
Yeah, so it was cool. And those guys were really cool, you know, talking to them and everything.
Got a hold of the right guys.
Yeah. And so it was a cool experience for sure.
Okay. So you pick him up and just talk about it. Like, talk about him. What happened? You pick him up.
Well, I had to go across. the water.
Wet boots.
Wet boots, again, and yeah, drag him to the other side.
Because Marissa came out with you. What time did she get off? Because I don't know any of this part.
Marissa got off work about. She got out there. It was after 5. You know, drug him back across. The dogs, you know, at that point, the dogs kind of, you know, got real excited when they mm-hmm. were able to go up to the deer and everything, which was cool. Yeah.
Got some pictures. Good photos, too.
Got some good pictures, yeah.
Packed him up. Got him out of there.
Yep.
Okay.
It was...
I'm good.
It was definitely a big, big relief being able to recover him.
Oh, I can't imagine. I'm pulling him down. Gotta look at him, dude. He's a good buck. And we had that conversation, you know, like, you know, after picking him up, you were kind of like, he's not as big as I thought he was. But the thing is, it is a different hunt. You know, this isn't trail cameras in a tree stand, logging pictures of deer, you know, 200-300 photos of a buck, getting a really good idea who's a shooter, who's not a shooter. This is public ground, just spotting, stalking whitetails.
Yeah.
And dude, these bases are just, we never figured out what this was called, but god damn, just gnarly bases. So we taped him.
Yep, we did tonight, finally.
Break it to him.
143 and 2/8.
2/8.
Whatever it was. Yeah.
It's a stud.
Scored a little better than I thought he would, honestly.
Well, and the thing, well, dude, his fours, this four really helps him. That two really, and that, dude, that two's really not that bad. Good threes, good beam length.
Yep. Just a typical 5x5.
No, dude, congratulations. Unbelievable. I'm just saying, the spot and stock, it adds, I'm not even exaggerating, it has to add 40 inches. I would love to fucking see somebody else do this. And I'm sure there are guys that do, but just around here, back home, it's not happening.
Yeah. It's definitely been a process, like putting a lot of time into it.
Been a 4-year really journey.
Focusing on doing this one thing and finally getting it done.
He's a stud. Crazy hunt. Well deserved.
Yeah, just kind of a crazy experience.
Definitely. But no, I mean, I'm telling you, because we have plans to do some doe hunting out there. I want to be a part of this. I want to try it just to get an idea. Go to the same kind of spot like that and see if we can get it done.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun.
I got high hopes. I mean, if you're killing bucks like that out there, we should be able to kill some does.
Yeah.
So, no, I think that's going to do it for this one. Dude, you got anything else you want to say?
No, I mean, I think we about covered it.
Yeah, no. Congratulations again, dude.
Appreciate it.
Insane. All right, guys. That's going to do it for this one. I appreciate you listening to the Midwest Hunts Hunt Podcast. We'll catch you on the next one. See ya.
I was just waiting for you to do that.
You guys suck.
Live audience.
Later.
That's a wrap. Oh, you hear? December 21st, it changed my life forever. He was coming downwind, he ain't even noticed me. I stood up and grabbed my bow, he made his way down through the funnel. I drew back, I'm locked, I'm ready to rock, it ain't no turning back. It's like a meteorite when it took flight, look like a shooting star. Let my arrow fly, then he died within 40 yards. Send my thanks to heaven, cause I have to give thanks to God. Video edited and then put out within a couple days. Couple hours go by, I was already at 20K. Views steady going up, knocking out milestones. I can never give it up, I had to stay strong. I forget to mention when I was running through thickets. Rabbit hunt with old heads, we was trying to get a limit. 20 pack of beagle hounds, sounding like dog pounds. Cats, I'm trying to cross the lane, then I had to cut them down. I see the times are changing. Overlooked for so long, I see it changes amazing. Outdoor magazine.